Amen. Beautiful song, beautiful song. I try to start off with a story each week to help set the stage for whatever I'm going to share from the Bible. This morning I'm going to go all the way back to high school, in fact to my even freshman year in high school, and tell a story about someone who made a difference in my life. And I've shared maybe some of this off and on over the years, but when I was a freshman, I was recruited to be on the wrestling team for Knightstown High School. Not because of my athletic ability. As a freshman, I was 5'10" and weighed about 260 pounds. So I had two qualifications that would help the wrestling team at Knightstown, and one was I was fat, and the other, I was breathing. I was an absolute pitiful example of an athlete, but there was a coach, Dennis McMahon, who saw something in me that could be a help to the team and also could be a help to me. And over the years, he took me from being about as pitiful of a athletic person you could be to being fairly successful. In fact, in my senior year, I was able to, in the sectional at Greenfield, beat the kid in the heavyweight class. And now I was 6'6 and 195. But I was able to beat the kid who the year before finished second in the state and was projected to win the state that year. What was so great about this coach? One of the things is he saw what I could be, not what I was. He was a great encourager. He built me up. And when I say built me up, I literally mean from the floor. Sometimes I've told you the fact that when I was younger in my life, it wasn't that I had low self-esteem. I had no self-esteem. So I started at the ground floor, even in sports as well. He spent time with me. He spent energy on me. He was constantly teaching me one lesson at a time. Not everything I needed to know, not everything I needed to do, but a little at a time. And he showed faith in me when I didn't have faith in myself. He didn't focus on making me perfect. He focused on helping me improve. Again, I went from a loser as a freshman to a winner as a senior through Coach McMahon. Coach McMahon was all about edification, even though he never mentioned that word. In fact, do you ever use the word edification? Edify all the time. Yeah, so one of us does. Yeah, we never use that word, and yet it's in the Bible. Now, different translations change it, and we're going to talk about that as we go through the message. But edification. Now, what's interesting when you look up the word edification, I'll give you a definition here in a bit. But one of the synonyms to edification is coach. Yeah. If you remember, I said I'm starting a series that is about the church, you know, the role of the church. And I've got it down to three major roles. There could be several roles that we could talk about. Last week, we talked about worship is a major role for the church. Today, it's going to be about edification. And next week, on evangelism. Well, edification is good in sports. It's really good in church. In fact, it's biblical. And why is it so important? Well, I found an article on a website called compellingtruth.org. Let me read a little bit of what it says. It starts off saying that the dictionary definition for edification is this: improvement, instruction, enlightenment. Those were things and more that my coach on the wrestling team did for me. But an edification is especially those things: improvement, instruction, and enlightenment, when morally or spiritually uplifting. Well, that should fit all of life, but especially fits us here at church. Edification then is similar to spiritual growth. That's maybe another way of thinking of it. It moves us forward in the knowledge of and obedience to God. Those are two things we should be shooting for all the time. Knowledge of, and that's one of the things we do here at church, is we bring knowledge from the Bible to all of us, and then obedience too. It's not just about knowing, it's about doing. Look at the book of James. He's all about that. Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8 says this. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Now, if you didn't catch all that, let me start and just show the key words that kind of progress. And this is all starting with faith and ending with love. If we can go from a progression of and an improvement from faith to virtue, virtue is just morality, faith to virtue to knowledge to self-control to steadfastness to godliness, brotherly affection, and then love, that would be incredible if we could do that. If these qualities are yours and mine and are increasing, they keep us from being, they will make us effective and fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In essence, Peter's talking about edification. But that word was never used in this verse. Eventually, I'm going to get to a few verses where the word edify is used, and then I'm going to substitute another word as well that we're more familiar with. Well, as Christians, we're expected to grow spiritually. Our knowledge of God should be ever increasing, as well as our obedience to Him. We're all at different levels, and I'll get to that in just a second. The Christian life is about improvement, not self-improvement. We could find 100 books at the bookstore on self-improvement. Not works-based improvement, but on the newness from God, that type of improvement, like that wind that makes us feel God is there and refreshing us and giving us new life, new breath. I'm not going to turn to the scriptures exactly, but in 2 Corinthians, there's a couple places where it talks about this. In Christ, we are new creations and we are being made new. And that's what I love about the Bible. It's one thing to get saved, to accept Christ the Savior, and then we start there, but that's not the end. We're a new creation, and then the Bible says, and then we're continually being made new. Every day's a new day. God's mercies are new every day. He gives us a new mind. We're to renew our minds on a regular basis. So that's the newness. And then here's another thing in 2 Corinthians talks about, we have been declared righteous, and we are becoming righteous. You see, when we come to Christ and we accept Him as our Savior, He makes us right. We're in right standing with God. Are we right? Are we perfectly right? Absolutely not. I'll be the first to admit, I won't be right until I pass from this life to the next. But I have been made right at my salvation, and then I'm constantly being made right daily with the Lord. Christians, we ought to be intentional about our edification, seeking to know God and obey Him. Do you hear me repeating this over and over? We are told to build one another up in various scriptures, and I'm going to point to some of those. We should seek to live at peace with others. We should monitor our thoughts and set our minds on the things of God. What's edification for? Basically two things. It's for the glory of God, because again, the Bible instructs us to do this. It's for the glory of God, and it's for the good of His people. When my coach, when Denny McMahon coached me to be a better wrestler, it helped me, it helped the team. As we edify one another, it will help you, but it will help our team, our church. Unfortunately, we don't live in a world that focuses on edification, though, do we? In fact, we seem to, I'm gonna go ahead and use the word, edify means to build up. And some translations, like a King James might use the word edify or edification, and other translations will use build up, building up. We live in a world, and especially now, it seems like it's all about tearing down. In fact, as I was preparing this a little while ago, it was before they were tearing down statues. But long before they've been tearing down statues, they've been tearing down one another, have they not? I don't remember when or how far back in history you have to go where Republicans, Democrats, and Independents got along and didn't say, I'm right and you're wrong. One could say the sky is blue and the other would disagree with that. I mean, it's just crazy. Whether we're black, white, brown, red, or yellow, it seems like there's tearing down. Somebody's tearing down somebody for something. We live in this world that's all about tearing. In fact, the world seems to enjoy it. Reality TV shows, the talk radio shows. How about Facebook? You ever find yourself thinking, oh, I just would like to get off for a while, but you want to stay on for the good stuff, and yet it's like tear down, tear down, tear down, constantly. A lot of heads are shaking out there. Here, the misuse of words and action, the misuse of words and actions bring these things, destruction spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. The use of miswords and actions. And spiritually, we seem to be in our society going from a Christian-based, Bible-based country to it's less and less and less of that all the time. In fact, a lot of churches find themselves declining and not growing. So let me say that again. The misuse of words and actions can bring about destruction spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Here's another way of saying it. What we do speaks so loud that I can't hear what you say. What you do speaks so loud I cannot hear a word you say. We might have a great message to share with people, being Christians, and yet if our actions don't match our words, you know, we call people that are like that, we call them hypocrites, don't we? Because people aren't always listening to what you say, even if it's wonderful things. They're watching what you do along with what you say. The misuse of words and actions can bring destruction spiritually, emotionally, and physically. However, that should not be said about Christians. The church is built on the foundation of Christ's love and continues to grow as we what? Build up or edify other people with what? Our words. And our actions. Get them both there. Don't just go out and preach the good news to people. That's a good start. Make sure your actions match the words. And while the misuse caused destruction, the correct use of our words and actions through Christ's love should build, not destroy. And as followers of Christ, we're mandated by the Spirit of God to improve the whole body of Jesus. Remember, just last week I was talking about this whole idea of the body of Jesus, that he is the head, Christ is the head, and then we are the body. And as a body, we all make up different parts. I don't know who the spleen is today, but you've got some spleening to do, as Desi Arnaz might have said to Lucy. I don't know where that came from. It's not even in the notes. Practice your gift of edification with the knowledge of some of these verses I'm going to give. I think I've got five of them, of different ways we can be good at edification, that we can be edifiers. And so what I want you to do is practice these. That's what I want to do, is practice these. Remember last week I said, you know, sometimes teacher or preacher can say a lot of things. It's like, I don't remember all that. Begin to ask God right now. Tell, Lord, give me the one I need to work on. Give me the one thing I need to work on. We can edify with our sensitivity. That's the first one. Edify with our sensitivity. I'm going to read what the New King James, you know, I teach and preach out of the, and I study mostly out of the New Living Translation. It's easy to read, but still very theologically based as sound. But I want to read from the New King James, and the King James would have this too, because it actually uses the word edification or edify. Edify with sensitivity. It says, therefore, and this is Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. Let's pursue those things. In fact, if you go to the NLT, it says aim for harmony in the church so that we may edify, or it'll say so that we may build up one another. Edify, build up, same thing. The church, whether it's the church, capital letters, or this church, or the church that someone might attend that's watching on Facebook, they're made up of a mixture of people who are spiritually mature and then others that are spiritually immature. And that's where we are at, maybe right here. Maybe there's somebody here in this group at Kennard Friends that's not even accepted Christ. So you haven't even been born again yet. But when you're born again, you're going to be spiritually immature. I don't care if you're 90 years old. You're a brand new baby when you're born again spiritually. Well, some of us, again, since we're all different ages, and think of this spiritually. We're either in the nursery or in the nursing home. Maybe that's one way of thinking of it. And they're all good. But sometimes we think, okay, now we've come together as a group. Why isn't everyone else acting the way I do? Aren't we all Christians? Don't I hear that person testify that they seem to know Christ? So why aren't they doing what I do? Well, again, it's a matter of maturity. So let's be sensitive to where everyone is as they're growing in Christ. For instance, some of us sense the freedom to do things that others may feel a strong conviction to avoid. Don't be pointing fingers at them or me, if I'm the one, and saying, why is he doing that? Why does she do that? Let me just give you a couple quick examples in my life where as the Lord has convicted me, even as a Christian, while I'm growing, I've changed some the way I do certain things. I still have more things that probably will need to be changed. R-rated movies. In the past, even as a Christian, I'd watch an R-rated movie as if it was G-rated. Didn't matter. But some years ago, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but for me, Bob, I made a decision. I'm done with watching R-rated movies. I'm not going to tell you to stop watching R-rated movies, but I'm going to let you and God figure that out on your own. Okay? Here's something else. You know me. I love to make people laugh. And I love to come up with little quick things that just, I don't even think of it. It just pops in my head and I say stuff and it makes people laugh. I used to be very good or bad, however you want to talk about, at making sexual innuendos. And they would be very funny. And some years ago, I thought, that's not right. And I didn't go to a particular Bible verse, but I just felt the Lord telling me, in your maturity, I need you to stop doing that. And so and I could go on the rest of our time and tell you things. How about this one? Second one, edify with our unselfishness. So the first one was edify with our sensitivity. How about edify with our unselfishness? The verse is Romans 15:2, and it says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Let's don't be selfish and only be thinking about what gives us happiness. Or what would bring everyone joy? And maybe doing something for someone else looking to see what they would need or what they would want or how I could help them, maybe that would bring them happiness and me joy, or maybe it would bring us both joy, going back to what Pete said early. Because it's easy to be selfish, is it not? I mean, we're born selfish. I've said this many times too, that when a baby is born, you don't have to teach them mine. That's already there. And they figure that out right quick and in a hurry, that is mine. If I've got it, it's mine. You can't have it. And then somehow we just sort of, as an adult, we continue doing that in different ways. The church will be built up as we're unselfish and we look at others who have burdens or who have needs, and we step in and help with those things. And sometimes it takes time. Yeah. Sometimes it takes money. Sometimes it takes energy. But that's what God would want us to do. Edify with our sensitivity. Edify with our unselfishness. Here's one. This ought to be pretty obvious. Edify with our love. Edify with our love. And the verse is from 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now concerning the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and then knowledge puffs us up, but love edifies, or love builds up. Nothing will build up the church more than love. And we could just say the opposite, the obvious. Nothing will tear down the church more than hate. And it's sad to think about this, but there's churches out there that hate. We can be truthful with everything in Scripture and still love. That's what we want to do. As we love one another, we're encouraged to continue in faith in times of joy and difficulty. We love whether it's times of joy or difficulty. Here's another one. Edify with our gifts. I appreciate, it seems like this is focus on Pete a little bit today. But Pete, you and the family have been coming for 7 years, six-ish years. Of the 8.5 years I've been here at the church, 6 years. And I've seen this with other folks too. The growth of someone who had not been attending church for a long time, raised in a completely different type of religious background, but then seemed like without the background for a while. And then little by little, as you have used gifts that, I don't even know if you knew you had them, I assume you might have, but to use them for the Lord and to be a leader in the church, not just on Sunday morning, but a leader in many, many ways. Using our gifts. Shirley has been one to use her gifts ever since she has been here. Gifts of teaching, gifts of leading, gifts of communicating, the way she shares with so many people. Think about what gifts you have and see how could God use you and your gifts to build up the church? Well, in Ephesians 4:11-12, it says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some to be teachers. Why? Just so somebody could have a position, call themselves something? No, it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And why still? For the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm not here as a pastor for some personal reason. In fact, I've told you the story many times. God called me into the ministry. He called me specifically to this Kindred Friends Church. And then he's expanded the ministry once I accepted that calling over the last several years. I'm supposed to do this. Why? Well, according to the Bible, it's for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And I pray to God that something I have done over the years is has made you feel built up and not torn down. I hope you leave here feeling better and not worse. Now, do sometimes I say things that are true in the Bible and it makes you feel convicted? Hey, yeah, me too. It's like, do I really have to say this, Lord? Do we really have to use that verse? Because that stings. And it's to edify us through our gifts. God's poured out spiritual gifts on the church. And as we come into the knowledge of those gifts, the application, then we need to start demonstrating them and using them. Well, here's the last one. Edifying with hope. Edifying with our hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage one another. Well, actually, let me read from the New Living, the New King James. I'll get it eventually. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Again, I want to get that word edify in there from Scripture. Therefore, comfort each other and edify, build up one another, just as you're also doing. In the NLT, it says this, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. There's many times that we're under pressure, severe pressure sometimes. Hope can seem to be elusive sometimes to the saints of God that are suffering and under tremendous persecution, however that's happening to us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally. And as believers, we have the ability to build each other up in faith and hope. From where? From God's word. By knowing and sharing the truths of Scripture, we can witness the power of God breaking the devil's grip of despair. You see, the devil is the one that's the most active at the opposite of edification, at the opposite of building up. He's the author of tearing it down. In fact, he's behind all the statues. People say, well, it's Antifa, or it's this party, or it's this color, or it's this whatever. No. Well, yeah. Maybe, but who's ultimately behind it is the author of destruction and despair, and that's Satan himself. So we're in a tough situation knowing that we have that to face and we're to build up. But hey, we've got God behind us. And as many people will say this phrase, we've read the end of the story, the last of the Bible, and we win. Tear all the statues down. Make all the laws you want, but ultimately Christ is victor, and he will build everything back up, whatever's been torn down, and he may build it up in your life during your lifetime. So keep that in mind too. Let me just finish with this. As believers, we are equipped by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that's in us, because I tell you what, I can't do this building up in this society by myself with my own strength. The Holy Spirit's going to help me and help you build up the church. And if we build up the church, we build up Kennard. We build up Caddis. We build up Knightstown, Greensboro, Moreland, Greenfield, Hagerstown. I mean, the list could go on, Indianapolis, wherever we're all from. And when we build up our lives, our community, we begin to build up the world. Our Father longs to see his children help and edify one another for the building of Christ's kingdom. That's the ultimate, building of Christ's kingdom. And we got a closing song for us today. Our Father longs to see his children help and edify one another for the building of Christ's kingdom. So one of these hopefully hit you. Edify with our sensitivity. Edify with our unselfishness. Edify with our love. Edify with our gifts. Edify with our hope. Which one do you need to work on first? Which one do I need to work on first.